Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene, Friday, August 26th, 2011.
I knew his work for years at Morgan Stanley. He is with Ed Hyman and Nancy Lazar at ISI. Greg Malek joins us right now. Greg, great to have you here. Great. I saw that you had an official Tom Keene Churchillian power breakfast. What do you say, Ken? It's got the three food groups?
All the major food groups. Grease, sodium.
Yes, it did.
It's a well-balanced diet.
Yes, you have a chart here which goes to the heart of what I get wrong and so many others get wrong. We look at same-store sales and all this. What a shock. People manage their retail outlets for free cash flow, and it's a constructive story even in this tough economy.
Yeah, what's really changed versus just 3 or 4 years ago is that most retailers now, I think, recognize they don't need a whole lot of new stores, and these businesses can be highly cash generative if they just try and maintain their business and grow the productivity out of the stores they have. So we've seen companies from Home Depot, Advance Auto Parts, a lot of them really ramp up their share repurchases with this free cash flow yield that's now 7 or 8%.
Mm-hmm. How does back to school look?
Well, back to school, we'll get a better read on it when we get our ISI survey later today. Yeah. We think it's okay so far. So the companies that have been talking to us about it, it's not that it's better than a month or two ago. It's probably a little bit softer, the selling rate. But this isn't some sort of swooning off a cliff sort of thing that we've seen so far.
Well, of course, in that business, it's never too soon to ask about Christmas. So what's the outlook from here?
Yeah, but we do think there's a deceleration in retail sales coming. So U.S. retail sales, ex autos and gas, are running up year-to-date around 5.5%. We think it'll decelerate to around 3.5% by holiday. But again, that's a deceleration as opposed to a recession.
Yeah.
It won't be as good as it's been, but we don't think it's fallen off.
Well, it's different from a few years ago when it was, 10% down is the new flat, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of it depends on how the markets do as well. So that feedback loop, if the S&P does roll over more, we'll have a bigger impact on consumption by holiday. So that's what we're watching closely.
Well, we heard from Tiffany this morning. Things are pretty good at the luxury end.
The high-end consumer, we like to call the balance sheet consumer, mm-hmm. which is about 15, maybe 20% of households, continues to be the stronger side of retail for sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen it as polarized? Is retailing polarization between high-end and everybody else the same as our politics or other barbell strategies?
I think there's certainly a barbell going on where consumers at all income levels are really focused on value. So if they're going to spend on something they really think is important, then they will consolidate their spending there. But people want value across the chain.
Okay, so we've seen lately the dollar stores do quite well. I mean, that continues?
Yeah, I think the dollar stores are winning. It's not just a simple price point. It's also a convenience. I mean, so as they've improved their businesses and improved their merchandising, a lot of these stores, especially like Dollar Trees, they're convenient. They're in the right locations with attractively valued price.
Well, are they taking it out of Walmart?
Certainly some of it would come out of Walmart, but Walmart's problems where their comps have been down 0.9 in the second quarter, we think you can only blame the dollar stores for about a third of that. We think a lot of it is just less spending in their stores by their core customers. Mm-hmm. Not.
Greg Malek with us from ISI as we look at retail and look back to school. Are there too many stores? We talk to hotel people that will say there are too many rooms. Are there just too many stores after the great boom?
We argue that we're not overbuilt, but we're under-demolished or under-repurposed.
Yes, that's exactly how the hotel people
So for high-quality retail real estate, there's as much demand as ever. And I'll use Williams-Sonoma as a good example. That's a stock we know well. They've been shrinking their lease square footage 2 to 4% a year now for the last few years, yet they've continued to grow their sales and actually had their sales pick up. They're migrated online. But they still need and want to be in the best couple hundred malls in America. And they want to be in the best real estate locations because you need that. The question is that excess capacity, I think, is really the, for lack of a better term, the third or fourth mall in a mid-sized market where there isn't much demand.
Oh, what's that figure? You add up all the square feet of retail space and divide by the population, and there's some huge number of square feet for every man, woman, and child in America.
There are a zillion ways to cut that number, but the way we kind of look at it is retail square footage grew around 2.5% per annum for the last 20 years. It's now effectively zero. It's going to grow like 0.2% this year. So, and vacancy rates are a good sort of low teens, mid-teens level. So that sort of, I think, emphasizes the excess capacity that we have.
What's your single best buy right now? I mean, we talked to Rob talked to RBC Capital Markets analyst on housing the other day, and he says he really doesn't have one. Do you have a single best
buy? Well, yeah, we cover 20-some names. So, we would use Target is the one we've used for the back half.
Great. What's the Target distinction? We haven't talked about Target here in ages.
I think the distinction there is the core business has shown positive traffic consistently now through the last couple of years. And the stock has underperformed year-to-date, mainly because of the investments they are making in Canada and the fact that the earnings have been revised down. We now think people have that in their numbers, and their U.S. comps actually picked up the last few months as their red card and other initiatives are helping bring more traffic to the stores. So, it's basically 11.5 times earnings, and the earnings include a lot of Canadian costs that they'll start to leverage in 2013. So,
well, we've started seeing over the past year or so some kind of market basket comparisons showing that Walmart's not the cost leader anymore.
Well, on our pricing studies, they still are. If you look at it versus a traditional supermarket, you're talking 10-15% savings. I think the difference is that they've sort of captured as much share as they can from people that are 110% price conscious. Mm-hmm. So, whether you're 13% cheaper or 14% cheaper, you've already captured 35% share of wallet of, say, households under $50,000. In middle America.
There's a story we've got to get right breaking right now. In Canada, I'm not up to speed on the story, so I can't embellish it, but the headlines are direct, and the effect is Sinoforest shares halted in Canada. They plunged 65% in the United States. A province of Ontario regulators order 5 Sinoforest executives to resign. Sinoforest spokesman Steve Nev says company declines comment. They've released that statement here a number of minutes ago, and Sinoforest shares halted again in Canada and plunged 65%. Never a dull moment in the equity markets with a down negative 74. If you were to go into any retailer today, Greg, and go into an operational management meeting, what's the difference in that meeting now versus 5 or 6 years ago? How has operating management changed in retail?
The biggest change is the internet and now mobile commerce. So if you're an operator that's on the cutting edge in retail, you've got to think about how to serve your customer and have more customers than a year ago. So you're really thinking about how do I operate a store so that I take care of those customers. You've seen people like Home Depot and Lowe's start mobile checkout in the store so that instead of having to go wait in line for everything, someone can actually help you without having to circle the whole store, and that gets more throughput. It helps your customer service, and it stops people from just the internet stealing your sales.
Yeah.
So that's.
Ken, you mentioned Amazon earlier.
Yeah, there's an interesting battle going on in California. This is out of the L.A. Times this morning. State lawmakers escalated their war with Amazon with a fresh attack aimed at the internet giant's refusal to collect taxes on its sales, which a new law requires. The legislative move would halt Amazon's campaign to put a referendum on the June ballot asking voters to overturn the state's internet sales tax law. Is this sort of ground zero for this battle between state legislators and online retailers?
I'm not so sure there is going to be a ground zero. There are going to be a bunch of skirmishes all over the place.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Retail sales, about 6% now are online. We think that's going to grow to about 9% by 2015.
It's only 6%.
It's only 6%. And it's about half of that is actually from traditional brick-and-mortar retailers that, frankly, are paying the tax. As that grows from 6% to 9%, you're going to see more and more of this everywhere. State and local governments want more money, right? Mm. They need more money.
Yeah.
So, eventually, I think brick by brick, they'll probably end up paying some tax. Amazon obviously will fight it. What I tell my retailers, traditional retailers, is don't view that as a saving grace. At the end of the day, when we do our survey work, the internet taxation is really sort of sixth or seventh on the list is why people shop on the internet.
Oh, really?
What's most dynamic?
Assortment, selection, and service. All the things that matter.
The number one thing to me is it's there and it's not. You go into stores now and they don't have the item.
It's assortment, selection, service, price, all the things mm-hmm. you normally win in retail. Obviously, that changes right. some of the price dynamic. But
Greg, maybe I'm out of date with this, but the way it worked is if you're a retailer, even in the mail order days, we'll have to finish this later, won't we? We're just about out of time.
No, we're out of time with Greg. We thank you for coming by today.
Great. Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2011.